Good morning, everybody in East Tennessee and wherever else you may be. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. I'll never forget about probably 20 years ago, early on in my broadcast career, which I've never been paid for. I do this for free, you know. Well, I mean, I actually have to pay them to be on here. Can you believe that? Can you believe that they don't pay me for this incredible content? Oh, well. I'm not going to complain, but I had a guy that was listening from the desert of Arizona and said that he listens regularly on, I can't remember, I think it was whether he was streaming or something, but I was just amazed at that. So I bragged about that for some time. But anyway, we're here. I'm a new car dealer. If you haven't listened before, I'm a new car dealer with a twist. I do tell it like it is. I try to help people when they're making purchase decisions, selling decisions, maybe repair decisions. Had a lady call yesterday. Well, let me start over because yesterday was crazy. Had so many neat things happen and not so neat things. This COVID thing is getting serious, or it has been serious for some time now, but it's really affecting so many people that I know and so many people that are customers, people that are employees, you know. Even we've had to send some people home. You know, they get exposed at their house from their kids, and then they have to stick around at the house for 10 to 14 days until they get a negative test. So anyway, it is a wild, wacky world out there right now. Business is still good. You know, it's so different from last year, isn't it? It just feels different. It seems like last year I was more afraid. This year I'm genuinely concerned but not afraid. I guess because I've had the vaccine, maybe I feel like from a personal level I don't feel as threatened by it. Maybe that's a false sense of security. I don't know. I believe in the doctors and everybody that approved this thing and willingly took my shot. I understand there's a lot of people who just don't want to for multiple reasons, and that's up to them. It is a personal decision, but unfortunately it can affect other people around you. And so I'm not going to lecture on that. I'm just telling you that right now it is having an impact on business, how we are able to work on cars and stuff like that. It just interferes when people can't be here, messes with folks' schedules. But on a lot more serious side, you've got the folks that are in the intensive care and the filling up hospitals. So it's just, it's a bizarre world. It makes me want to talk about cars, and that's what I'm going to do right now. I was out on the Kingsport Highway. We call it the Kingsport Highway. And when you live in Greenville, it's Highway 93, I believe it is. I wonder if you live in Kingsport, if they call it the Greenville Highway. Maybe they do. They should. But it, from our end of it, it's the Kingsport Highway, and I went out there to see a very special car. Now, I get these clues from people. Folks will say, you know, I saw the bumper of an interesting car sticking out from a shed the other day. Lenny, you need to go and see what that is. So I just can't resist that. I mean, it's just like a kid that's going past a candy store. I mean, I see it, and I say, okay, got to have that. And so I went out. I was told about this potential 1970 Dodge Challenger, which I was never really a Mopar fan, and I don't mean to offend anybody. Of course, our initial career was all Chevrolet and then mixed, and then finally I'm a Ford-Nissan guy. But I just love cars. So, you know, I'd buy a Mopar product if it was old enough. And see, back in the 70s, I just felt like they just didn't build quality cars. They had great engines, but the bodies were crap. And so, anyway, sorry I said that on the air. Maybe nobody will bleep it out. But the Dodge Challenger sounded appealing to me because it was a 440 cubic inch six-pack. And no, there's not a six-pack of Schlitz on top of the intake manifold. It's actually, I think it's 3 2-barrel carburetors, so they call it a six-pack. And those dump fuel into the intake and generate a lot of horsepower for that day. Today, it wouldn't be that much. But it's 440 is a big block. It's not a Hemi, but it's supposed to be original paint, all original car, like new interior. So I went to see it. And I was using Google Maps so that I could kind of get an overhead view. That is so cool to be able to do that. But anyway, I was able to go out the Kingsport Highway, and I saw, came to where the location was, and went up, pulled into the driveway, and it was a little scary. And when I say that, I mean abandoned. There didn't seem like there was anybody there. A lot of cars around, but no humans. And knocked on the door twice, and just I'm just waiting for the glass to shatter, you know, somebody shooting a gun at me or something. So I decided to back off and maybe go back another day. And then I got another call when I was heading back to the dealership from somebody else that's wanted to sell an older car. So these calls are rolling in. I'm trying to run a car dealership. Well, not really. I'm letting my kids run it as much as possible. I have to be here to make the big decisions and handle customer issues when we have them, and you know, just be the general good guy. But you know, I really do enjoy chasing after vehicles. Tomorrow, I'm going to another location to see an old Corvette that I have the potential to buy. So this is just fun. This is probably more fun than I've had in probably my entire automotive career. And it's just, it's nice to have the flexibility, you know, to do something that you really love. I enjoy selling cars. I enjoy selling new cars and stuff like that. But these old cars, I don't know. It's just something about me being old and them being old that makes us be able to bond. So I'll keep you informed on these projects and what's going on and what I find and how we progress through that. You may know somebody who has an old car that needs to find a home. I talked to another couple the other day. They called and heard that I purchased cars off the street. And I said, "Do you have an antique?" And they said, "No, just a regular everyday vehicle. We just need the money." Health issues and you know, financial pressure caused by that is forcing us to liquidate some vehicles that are in our driveway. You know, and so many people have more cars than they need. Maybe they have the wrong car. You know, it's just not appropriate. In these folks' case, it's kind of the wrong cars. They need something with a wheelchair lift, and asked if I could provide some guidance on that as well. So I am more than happy to do that. And if you have similar questions, situations that involve automobiles, then I'm probably the guy to call if you don't know anybody else. You may know somebody else, but they may not have the level of experience and the connections that I do. So feel free to reach out to me. If you like email, you can send it to LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. I spell my real name's Leonard, if you didn't guess that. But my mom started calling me Lenny real early. So LennyLawson2020@gmail.com. And I'm not going to say it three times. That's so irritating to me when they say numbers and stuff three times on the radio commercials. I figure if you can't get it the first time, then that's your problem. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020. Notice there's 2020 in my cell phone and 2020 in my email address. And that is by design. So anyway, I'm going to take a break and take a breath, and we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, well, I'm back. I hope you're enthused. I am. You know, how are you protecting yourself from this pandemic right now? I mean, you're wearing gloves, mask, all that. You know, I haven't put the mask back on yet. If I'm dealing with a customer that has a mask on, I'll put a mask on. I think that's the only polite thing to do. But I'll admit that I am not touching door handles. Like I was. I am, especially in public places. I trust my wife. Okay. I'm not, you know, wiping off after her, but I am being careful when I go into the bathroom and, you know, restaurants and stuff like that. I'll keep the paper. I'll wash my hand. Too much information here, but I'll wash my hand and then dry it off with a hand towel, and then I'll use the towel to open the door. That's not unique to me, I'm sure, but I hate it when you go into the bathroom and they have those things that blow your hands dry. then I don't have anything to open the door with, except I have to pull my sleeve over my shirt, and that's kind of tough if you have a short sleeve shirt on. So then I have to untuck my shirt and pull it out. It's just a pain. But I think, you know, everybody needs to be wise and do what they feel like they can live with and be safe with. This is just eerily familiar territory to last year. But I'm just going to keep proceeding. You know, our traffic, when I say traffic, I mean, you know, folks coming into the dealership. That seems normal. Seeing some masks, you know, people are starting to bump hands again instead of shaking hands, which I agree with that as well. What I worry about is the kids right now. And so, because apparently they are starting to get sick with this thing. But from a business standpoint, it seems like things are rocking along. I mean, the stock market and automobile sales were down last month. But I think that was just a supply issue. I think if we had plenty of inventory, we'd be breaking records right now, regardless of the pandemic. Okay, question. If you take your car into a repair center and they work on your car because of a problem that you have, let's say you've had it at a couple other places as well, you're getting frustrated, and you take it into this place because of somebody's recommendation, they work on your car, they install parts, but they can't fix your car. It still has the same problem. Should you owe them money if they don't fix your car? Well, let me tell you why you probably do owe them money. Communication is so important when somebody's working on your car. If you got a place that won't call you back and keep you updated on the status of your repair, and you have to really work to find out stuff, you know, you're probably at the wrong place. You need to insist when you go into a dealership that they give you regular updates. You know, I always told my techs or my service advisors, it's not the customer's job to keep themselves informed. It's our job as service advisors to keep the customer informed. And if you have a vehicle that's a carryover, which means that it has come in one day and spent the night with us, it's incumbent upon us to call that customer, don't you think? I mean, you've got you're having to do without your car. It's inconvenient. You're frustrated. You need to be kept informed. So this is where a lot of these things deteriorate. And sometimes the dealership has to experiment on your car. Now, what I mean by that is some repairs are not straightforward. In car dealerships or repair centers, the only thing they have to sell is, in a service department that is time. And every minute that goes by in a car dealership, all of those minutes, once they're gone, that's like inventory. It's gone. It's not like parts inventory. You know, if you order a part from Ford and put it on the shelf, you know, it's there today and it's there tomorrow. It's there until you sell it. But when time passes by, you can't go back and resell that time. It's gone. And so if you have a technician that's paid on flat rate, which is how most technicians are paid, that is an hourly rate that they get, and they don't get paid for just being here. They get paid for turning wrenches. And so let's say a particular job pays 2 hours to do that particular job based on one of the labor time guides that we use. It's either a motor, that's the appropriate name, isn't it? A motor manual or Mitchell, and there are others. But those are the primary ones that tell you how much time to charge for a particular operation or job. And so let's say a particular job pays 2 hours. Well, the technician, if it takes him 4 hours to do it, he still gets paid 2 hours. If it takes him 30 minutes to do it, he still gets paid 2 hours. You may say, well, that's not fair. Yeah, it is, because the reason that's fair is because the reason he could do it in 30 minutes is because of his skills and because he's done it a bunch. And the reason it takes the not-so-good technician 4 hours to do it is because of his skills and because his lack of skill and knowledge and experience. And so, you know, I'm perfectly willing to pay 2 hours for a job that only took the technician 30 minutes to do if it's fixed right and if that's what everybody else has to pay. And that's what a flat rate pay plan basically does, is it ensures fairness. Now, the scenario I'm talking about is if you take your vehicle in there and it has to be diagnosed. And the technician is spending time, and he diagnoses what he thinks is the problem, and he puts a part on it, and it doesn't fix the problem. And then he puts another part on it, and that doesn't fix the problem. And then finally he puts the another part, chasing after a solution for you, and that does fix the problem. Now, sometimes you need to replace more than one part to fix certain issues. Sometimes they're related. They're tied together, and it makes sense. But other times, if somebody's putting parts on your car that don't fix it, then they should be able to take those parts off and send them back and not charge you for it. Now, what about the labor time? Well, the guy has spent, let's say, 6 hours repairing your car and chasing after a problem that nobody else could fix. Do you owe him for that time? Well, I can assure you, if you go to the doctor's office or to a lawyer's office, especially a lawyer, if you're sitting in that chair, he's generating billable hours that he can charge you for, and does. I have a cousin who's a lawyer. He might be listening to this radio show. Sometimes he even charged me when we talk on the phone, and I get mad at him for that. I said, I'm not paying you for that. We were talking about cars. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot. No, he doesn't do that to me very often, but I have to look at his bill occasionally. You got to watch those cousin lawyers. Any lawyer, right? I had a guy in the showroom the other day, and he was running his mouth about car dealers and how all car dealers are crooks. And I'm standing in front of him. He's kind of looking at me when he's talking. He said, what's your name? And I said, I'm Lenny Lawson. He said, what do you do here? I said, I own the place. He said, oh, sorry. You know, I don't take that really well. I take it better now, though, than I used to. All car dealers are not crooks. There are some. But, you know, just like all technicians are not crooks. And if they spend a lot of time working on your car, then they deserve to be paid for it. Now, there's a limit to that. And I would want to see the clock time, you know, that the tech actually did it. See, in a car dealership, typically the techs, they're going to get paid on flat rate, but they're going to clock in and clock out on every job that they do so that we can monitor straight time and see how long did it really take versus how long are we getting paid for. So it's just good business. It's the way it works. Now, I've had jobs in the shop where, you know, we spent 3 days chasing an electrical problem and couldn't find it. And then when we finally found it, you know, the actual job pays maybe 30 minutes to do that job. And so what do you charge in that case? We always make an accommodation. We're not going to charge 3 days for that. We may charge, you know, a couple hours or whatever. But, you know, that technician wasn't able to make a living on, you know, that he would normally be able to make because they're paid like on a commission. That's what flat rate is. And so you have to be aware of that. And obviously, you can have a technician who is inexperienced and chase after a problem for 8 hours that a really good technician could have found in 2 hours. And I think that's one of the advantages of going to, or at least know who you're dealing with and making sure that the dealership or whatever is putting their good man on your problem. We put our best people on our electrical issues because especially if the customer, and this happens a lot, if they've been at another dealership and they couldn't fix it and they got frustrated and they bring it to us to finally fix, you know, that's something that we are concerned about because if a good technician had been working on it and they couldn't find it, you know, who's to say we're going to be able to? But most of the time we do, and we always make an accommodation, but we lose money on that typically when we do it, and I think most people can understand that. Well, we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. So if you get into one of those situations where you're spending a lot of money and spinning your wheels, basically, you're not getting anywhere, you're not getting the car fixed, you're just your bill just keeps racking up, you need to put the brakes on before that gets too out of hand. And that's where the communication with the service advisor, the service manager comes in. You know, go in and sit down with the service advisor or the service manager and come to some type of an agreement. You know, I know that nobody else has been able to fix this problem, and I know you're going to invest some time, but set a limit on it. Tell them, you know, give them a budget, basically, that you do not want to exceed without them calling you first, and insist on regular updates and what they're finding and what they're doing. And if you end up driving past the place regularly and you see it parked outside and they're just not making any progress, then don't just get mad. Go in and talk to somebody. You know, go talk to the service manager and say, listen, I brought my car here 3 days ago and it's still outside. Make them tell you why. Because they will. And if they won't, get your car and take it someplace else or get it towed someplace else, because there's life's too short, you know, to just be frustrated about stuff like that. So if, you know, you have those kind of issues, questions, problems, I mean, I can't fix everything. If you own a Mercedes or a Porsche or something like that, my guys aren't trained to work on those cars, and you need to go to a Porsche or Mercedes specialist. You know, if you're driving a Subaru or a Toyota, you probably, unless it's an older car, you need to take it to the guys who were trained to work on those cars. If it's an older car, it's a different deal. And sometimes you just need to find an old car mechanic. I've got the best guy that I know of, and his name's Johnny Reagan, and he works for me, works on all my old cars, and he can fix anything, but nothing modern. You know, if it's electronic, if it involves computers and stuff like that, he's out. But if it is an old car, a carbureted car, something that has, you know, even electrical issues or power steering issues, suspension, whatever, he can fix it. And there are plenty of guys out there like that, but they're getting fewer and fewer and far between. So, you know, you just got to know who you're asking for. If I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to call me, 423-552-2020. And I guess that's it. We'll see you tomorrow for Friday edition.